Well, I wonder what you'd say if I ask you who you thought of when you thought of a wise person. What do you picture in your mind when you think of a wise person? What does a wise person look like? Maybe old, long beard, maybe Gandalf from Lord of the Rings comes to mind. Or perhaps even his alter ego in a parallel universe, Reverend Dr. Rowan Williams. Is that what a wise person looks like? Or I don't know, perhaps your idea of a wise person is not so much a lot of hair down here, but it's more not so much hair up here, the bald professor type. Think C.S. Lewis, for instance. Or to change tack, of course the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes. It's slightly taken out of context, but we use that to mean that sometimes, on occasion, it takes a child to reveal lasting wisdom. For instance, Michael, 14, said, when your dad is angry and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Amir, age 9, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in your milk. Andrew, also age 9, puppies still have bad breath, even after a polo mint. And Talia, age 11, when your mum is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Well, you can judge for yourself whether wisdom is found in children, whether wisdom comes from children. But this evening I want to introduce you to the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that comes from this black and white book, the black and white book of Proverbs. Well, the game plan for this evening is that we'll spend a little bit of time looking firstly at how we can read the book of Proverbs for ourselves, and then secondly we'll ask, how should we read the book of Proverbs from a New Testament perspective, the Jesus bit? Now, it may come as a surprise to you that the book of Proverbs tells us that wisdom comes not from old men with long beards, it comes not from old men with balding heads, it comes not from children, but in fact, wisdom comes from women. Or to be more precise, from a woman. Hold that thought for a minute. Now picture the scene. You live in ancient Israel. It's about 3,000 years ago. You're a young man, and you're expected to learn not just the Jewish law, but you're also expected to be able to make right, practical choices in life. Choices which honour your God, Yahweh. Now, who teaches you? In all likelihood, your own father will sit down and he will teach you chokmah, that is wisdom, Hebrew wisdom. How to do life well. How to make right choices in life. Wisdom is about making right choices. Here's what a Eugene Peterson from his intro to Proverbs in the Message Bible says. Wisdom has to do with becoming skillful in honouring our parents and raising our children, handling our money and conducting our sexual lives, going to work and exercising leadership, using words well and treating friends kindly, eating and drinking healthily, cultivating emotions within ourselves and attitudes towards others that makes for peace. Threaded through all these items is the insistence that the way we think of and respond to God is the most practical thing we can do. In matters of everyday practicality, nothing, absolutely nothing, takes precedence over God. Proverbs concentrates on these concerns more than any other book of the Bible. So actually, attaining Hebrew wisdom, it's not about deep philosophical insights. It's not about understanding long theological words or having a beard down to your knees. It's about gaining life skills. Gaining life skills to walk down the right path in life. The path ordained for you by God. So walking down the right path, walking God's way and not walking the other way. The way of idolatry, the way that leads to destruction. Now, young men being young men, and dads being dads, what's the best way to illustrate these two alternatives? God's way and the way of an idol. Enter woman. Enter woman. You see, the core metaphor in the book of Proverbs is that following God's way, following the way of Chokhmah, the way of wisdom, is like accepting the invitation of a noble, righteous woman. A woman who has variously been called Lady Wisdom or even Dame Desirable. I wonder if you heard her voice when chapter 8 was read out earlier by Beth. Let's remind ourselves, verse 4 of chapter 8. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. Well, Lady Wisdom offers the young student of wisdom life. She offers godliness. She offers riches and prosperity. And she is personified at the end of the book, chapter 31, as the wife of noble character. Sorry if some of you single guys thought that passage was actually a checklist for finding a wife. If so, you're waiting to marry Wisdom herself. And besides, she's already taken. So there's Lady Wisdom, but there is also another woman. Another woman. And she also calls out to you, enticing you to follow. And she is a prostitute, a woman who appears to offer comfort and pleasure and excitement, but in the end, she leads you down the path of idolatry. Adultery, but ultimately idolatry, and then death. Remember her verse? Remember her voice in chapter 7, verse 23. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Da da da, plagiarized chord here. Well, this woman has variously been called Madame Folly, Femme Fatale, or even Ms. Understanding. Her talk is smooth, but her path leads to idolatry and leads to death. Well, let me tell you, there is no more powerful metaphor for a young man than the enticements of a noble woman and a prostitute. So the real question that this book poses for us today is actually, who's your woman? Who's your woman? Or in the words of our youth series on this a few years back, who's your bird? In your life, which path are you following? Now looking around, especially looking around at some of the young men, I see that we're all sensible folk here. So let's presume that we do want to follow Lady Wisdom. Well, what does a date with Lady Wisdom involve? What happens on a date with Lady Wisdom? What does it involve? It involves embracing her. Proverbs. Embracing her proverbs. Well, what is a proverb? What is a proverb? Very simply, a proverb in the Bible is a practical saying that helps us make right choices in life. It is something that teaches old-fashioned basic values. If you like, it's a hands-on saying in how to live responsibly. And it's chapters 10 through 29 that contain the bulk of these pithy two-line warnings, taunts, parables even, most of which were collected, though not necessarily authored, by Solomon, King Solomon. Now, what the book of Proverbs isn't is a list of rules and regulations that are universally applicable at all times and in all places. Now, that might come as a bit of a surprise to some of us. Why are Proverbs not directly applicable in all situations? Well, because first of all Proverbs, Proverbs from the Bible or otherwise, they need a bit of cross-cultural interpretation, some understanding of the basic worldview of those who came up with it. So, for example, in our culture we say, the bigger the better. That's a proverb. But how far does that go? In Mali and in other West African cultures, they have a proverb to the effect of, if your wife is on a camel and the camel cannot stand up, your wife is truly beautiful. So applying that to us, it needs a bit of cross-cultural interpretation. But second, all proverbs are not universally applicable. Think of a modern-day proverb. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Okay, another one? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Now, does that mean that in every situation that life throws at you, having one thing for certain is always better than having the potential for two of something? Well, not necessarily. It depends. It depends on your situation. I don't know, if you lost your three children on holiday, would you really say that finding one is as good as having two still in the forest? It depends. I guess it depends on which one you love the most, I suppose. The point is, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, is generally speaking a practical truism that applies to, yes, a lot of situations in life, but it's not absolute truth for all times and all places. And actually, it is the same with Hebrew wisdom. It needs translation, and it's not necessarily universal. So when we read, for instance, Hebrews 10:4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Does that mean that in every walk of life, lazy people are always and only ever poor, and that the only way to become wealthy is to be diligent? Well, I'm sure that even as I was talking, you can think of plenty of counterexamples to that. What about lazy people who inherit a fortune? What about hardworking people who don't have any money? What about Adrian and Gillian Bayford, the couple a few weeks ago who scooped 148 million in the Euro Millions lottery? Was that wealth gained through hard work? Well, Proverbs 10:4 doesn't address these situations, but it's saying that, generally speaking, 9 times out of 10, diligence is the right practical choice in life. And ultimately, it brings God's blessing, in this context, in the form of wealth. By the way, if you're wondering where to go for the 1 out of 10 times when Proverbs doesn't quite seem to fit reality, check out the book of Job, or indeed Ecclesiastes, or indeed Psalm 73. Let's take one more example in how to deal with Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Now, if this were an arbitrary and universal rule, we'd say, never speak for more than 20 seconds, otherwise you'll say something you'll regret, and you'll surely sin. But no, the principle, when applied to our lives in the correct circumstance, is not to be quick to speak, but to demonstrate self-control by holding one's tongue. That's the right practical choice to make to bring blessing. After all, as the Jewish comedian Sam Levinson once said, it's so simple to be wise. Just think of something stupid to say, and then don't say it. Easy. So it's fair to say that Proverbs is a collection of pithy sayings and that express particular truisms most of the time to help us make good practical choices if we apply them in the right way. How's that for a qualifying statement? Proverbs are, as you know, typically brief, and they're easy to remember. They use alliteration or rhyme in Hebrew, just as we use rhyme in English. We say, look before you leap, or a stitch in time saves nine. They're easy to remember, they're catchy, they're true most of the time, but not universally. In fact, the briefer a statement is, the less likely it is to be totally precise. And of course, conversely, long, highly qualified, elaborate, detailed statements of fact are more likely to be true, they're more likely to be accurate, but they're difficult to understand, and they're not particularly memorable. So for instance, if your colleague was advising you on what you should do next, instead of saying, look before you leap, have you ever heard them say, you know, Tim, in advance of committing yourself to a course of action, consider all possible circumstances and options. Have you ever heard that? Sounds like a piece of software's talking to you. It's too long, and it's not particularly catchy, is it? Or if the same colleague was advising you to plan ahead, I don't know, instead of saying, a stitch in time saves nine, they would say, you know, Tim, there are certain correct measures for minor problems that when taken early on in a course of action forestall major problems from arising. I think you get the point. So proverbs are pithy, they're catchy, they're non-exact, they require interpretation, they're not universally true, but when applied correctly to practical situations in life, they will bring God's blessing. They will bring God's blessing. And I want to challenge us with that this evening. Are we accessing this wonderful book of blessing, this wonderful way in which God has provided that we can be blessed and live the life that God intended for us? Well, that is Hebrew wisdom, and that is the challenge, really, of pursuing Lady Wisdom as we read the book of Proverbs. Now, a little bit about reading the book ourselves. When you read it, you might take a kind of Quality Street or a Cadbury's Hero approach. You choose a proverb, you unwrap it on its own, and you kind of enjoy it one by one. That's fine. Another approach might be to read the book thematically. That is, you'd read every proverb on wealth, then you read every proverb on parents, every proverb on diligence. One good thematic list is in the NIV Study Bible, which you can also find online for free. And I think when we start to read the book thematically, I think we really start to see God's heart for different areas of life to enable us to live life, yes, to the full, to live life to the max, under God's blessing, so that all things go well for us. That is God's heart for us as we read this. That is the main point of this book. That's what we're supposed to get out of it. But there is, of course, another point to this book. And to see it, let's go back to the first chapter, the very first chapter of Proverbs, and I'm going to read the first seven verses. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So to truly attain wisdom, it's not just a case of following Proverbs as some sort of textbook, but rather following and fearing the Lord, fearing Yahweh, who is the source of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. So wisdom starts with that. It starts with the fear of the Lord. That is, living your life in regard to the Lord, revering him, acting out of relationship with him. So you cannot be wise unless you know Yahweh. Now, we asked the question earlier, who's your woman? Do you follow Lady Wisdom? Do you pursue Lady Wisdom or do you pursue Dame Folly? But really the question, that question, is hinting at a deeper question, perhaps an even more important question, and that is, of course, who's your God? Who is your God? Are you following Yahweh or are you following an idol? And that is the real challenge for us this evening. But how do we ask that question from a New Testament perspective? After all, we're reading Proverbs as Christians, aren't we, and not as Jews. Here's Paul in 1 Corinthians 1. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So to know Yahweh means to know Christ. So who we might think is the wisest person in our department or in our office or in our class or in our household even, truly they are less wise than a five-year-old if that child knows Christ and that adult doesn't. That's what the Bible is implying here. Because you see, and here's our link to Christ in all the scriptures, quite simply, Christ is the wisdom of God. I wonder if you noticed the similarities between our two readings earlier, the one from Proverbs 8 about wisdom and the one we had when we were singing together from Colossians chapter 1. Both Christ and wisdom are the firstborn of all creation. They were both there at the beginning when the world came to be. They were both present at the building of the heavens and the earth. Undeniably, Paul is saying to the church in Colossae, and indeed Mark and Luke and John and their gospels stress that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And that means if you want to know what wisdom is, if you want to know how to make right practical choices in life that will lead to blessing, friends, go to Jesus. Go to the source. You might not be able to improve your IQ, but you can certainly improve your wisdom quotient, your WQ, by asking God for wisdom through relationship with his Son. You know, in terms of the wisdom of this world, the world of Google, the world of wiki wisdom, self-help books, business gurus telling you how to be highly effective, get-rich-quick guides, atheist wisdom. In this kind of world, go to Jesus for wisdom. Go to the source for wisdom. Spend some quality time reading the book of Proverbs, asking your Father to give you true wisdom. So from your relationship with him, you'll become truly wise, truly knowledgeable, and truly blessed. Go to the source. You know, I remember a few years back in Israel being taken inside a mountain near Haifa, and we were crawling over rocks in the dark. We were scrambling over crevices into the very source of a spring. And inside the mountain, as you might expect, it was almost completely silent. You could hear nothing except for the drip, plop, drip, plop, drip, plop of the fresh flowing water, as pure and as natural as could be, welling up. And I remember thinking, go to the source, go to the source. Well, that's the challenge for us this evening. Go to the source. Don't settle for expensive and processed spiritual bottled water. Go to the source. And friends, that's what God is bringing to our minds tonight. If you want to be wise, will be like Jesus. Well, Jesus is our wisdom. From relationship with him, we can begin to understand how to make right, practical choices and be blessed. So who's your woman? Wisdom is about making right, practical choices. And who's your God? Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Let's spend a moment in quiet.